Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening, Sports City. What's up? What's up? Okay. I know I don't have too much time to spare, right, Sports City? Welcome to the Monday Night Sport Wrap Up. I have you for the next 60 minutes. I was told we cannot go any longer than 60 minutes, so I'm going to try my best to keep it underneath 60 minutes. But I know things get hot in the kitchen. Tempers get hot in the kitchen, and well, I'm a fat boy, so I love food. So this food gets good. People like seconds and thirds, so I'm going to try my best to feed them as much as I can before the show's end. I done took off his blazer and loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the wrap-up. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it.
Woo!
What you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather around, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Here's a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with hoes, what type of ex you're on? I got great lawyers for cops, so dress warm. Charges don't stick to duty, Teflon. I'm too sexy for jail like I'm right, said Fred. I'm not guilty, now give me back my bread. Look, the district attorney, I'm not sure if they told you I'm on TV every day. Where the fuck could I go to? Plus, hoes don't run, hoes stand and fight. Hoes a soldier, hoes been fighting all his life. So, what could you do to me? Snot.
Wow, I'm telling you, like, I be getting caught in these zones, man, because it's like, these is like songs that I love. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get caught, like, I be getting my swag, I be looking in my mirror, man, throwing jabs and hooks, left, right, man. I got to, man. I feel some type of way. The calling number is 917-889-959, so you got the next 60 minutes. Like I said, I was told we can't go past 60 minutes today. I was told that I have to cut this at 8. So, Eastern Standard, I have to cut it at 8. So, like I said, I'm going to try and fill these dishes up as best as I can so we can get out of here before the 60-minute mark because there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America. Now, people, I want to say for like the past 2 months, 2.5 months, the guy, my brother, I'm about to introduce, he's been getting a little personal, you know, some stuff, you know, he's like me, wears his emotions on his sleeve, things of that nature. But before this started, this show, Sports City, one of the more hilarious people that I know, okay? Hysterical. He thinks he's funny. But welcome in, Tommy B. Welcome to the Raffle. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm okay. I'm just trying to sit here and watch two baseball games, get ready to watch the Heat. And I'm pissed off at you, Joe Madden. Six times? You walk Bryce Harper six times? Yeah.
Hey, wait. I asked you how you were doing. See, this is what I'm talking about, Sports City. I'm trying to tell you. like, I was laughing so hard. That's on my throat. That's why you hear me clearing my throat, because I was laughing so hard. The dude is hilarious. I'm asking how he's doing, and I knew that he was still into one of these pots. We will get there. Like I said, I have 60 minutes, so I have to get that base covered. I have to. Well, at least we know first base was covered all series long. In the Nationals Cubs game. At least we know first base is covered. Okay. Call again from the Southwest region of the United States of America. We have Nacho Silva in the building. Welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
In day person. Thanks for unmuting me. There's a
It was a pretty good day. It's a interesting day personally, but ready to get this cracking.
Okay. I'm trying Sports City. Like the role, the laugh that he made me laugh, like my throat is hurting right now, so I'm trying to find like a cough drop so I can get my stuff together. And I want to sound like this, clearing my throat, all doggone show long. Now, I don't know where to start. I was actually told that I can't start the show. I was told that I can't go past an hour. So I've actually been given limits, and I got the keys of the city. So I like it. I like it. So, Tommy, I'll let you start us up first before I start addressing dishes here in the kitchen.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody saw it, but the Cubs and Joe Maddon are a bunch of cowards. You walk Bryce Harper 6 times. He had 7 at-bats. 7 at-bats. None of them count. His stat line at the end of the 13th inning ball game was 0-4-0. He got on base all 7 times. That has not been done in 100 years in this sport. And all you hear about is how good Jake Arrieta is. Jake Arrieta walked him 3 times. 1 time was on purpose. The other 2 times were pitch arounds. Now, whatever happened to the Sandy Koufaxes, Nolan Ryans, George or Seaver, I don't know. I mean, hell, Pedro Martinez. I mean, hell, I'll even go now. We're playing a series against Detroit. I bet you, I believe it's Wednesday, Jordan Zimmerman pitches, former National. I bet you he comes right at him. What happened to these pitchers that used to pitch and be like, you know what, I'm going to throw you my best stuff. You hit it, you hit it. If you're out, I'll tip my ass to you. What happened? Now, I'll also blame, I'm not putting it all on this. I'm blaming Jordan. I'm going to blame you, Ryan Zimmerman. You're up with bases loaded twice, and you don't get nothing. I'm going to blame Ben Revere. I'm blaming everybody but Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy for that loss. Oh, in the bullpen, too. Because we had Jake Arrieta beat. Had him beat, and he got a no decision. Because you all can't bring in the run. We lead 21 men on base. 21 men. 21 men on base. That is ridiculous. Dusty, I know no one's listening, but y'all getting ready to play Detroit. Put Daniel Murphy hit behind Harper, please. Because this shit will stop then. 6 walks. That's ridiculous and disrespectful to this game. Pitch to the man. My God.
I didn't get the score of that game. What was the score?
You know what? I don't even I believe it was
4-3.
It was, 4-3.
Yeah, you're right, Tommy. 4-3.
And who won?
I don't remember. I have a severe headache. It's giving me it's giving me headaches. It hurt my memory.
Hey, Ty. It was the Chicago Swiffer Sweepers.
That's my man. I couldn't stop laughing in the doggone green room because he said, I'm not answering the question. He said, why do I have to answer the question?
That's funny.
He said, I'm not answering the question because he didn't answer already. I said, I want to hear a question too. So I had to get him on air because at least he was going to be honest. And then, of course, he tells me about the headache that he just said he came to the show with. He said, so I got a headache. So at least he did it the right way. He's so slick. I'm telling you, he be acting so pissed off. But the dude is probably in Virginia right now, smiling like his first grade picture there. I know that much. But
actually, yeah, I'm not. I'm sitting here watching the Hurricanes baseball team play Georgia Tech and flipping back to watch the Nationals to see if Detroit has any balls to pitch to Bryce Harper.
He's smiling, Sports City. Don't you worry. He just pissed off, but he's smiling. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go to Nacho after this. I don't care how mad Tommy want to be on the show right now. If this is going to keep us from losing, if this is going to make us 24-6, if this is going to keep us from watching Bryce trot around the bases, hell, Bryce got on base. I think he got walked. And Tommy let me know, because I wasn't watching the game at the time, but I got away from the screen. Tommy let me know Bryce got walked. I walked somewhere, and then I came near the TV. He said, oh, Bryce made it home for first plate. First base. I'm like, well, that's why. They don't want to see Bryce go all out to make a difference in the game. I tip my hat to Joe Maddon and the Chicago Cubs, and I mean it. I'm not saying it to try and be funny to Tommy right now. That's like... And I hate to be this type of, you know, colorful in this scenario, but I have to. I love Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not even going to lie. I love Shaquille O'Neal since LSU, before he even got to the league and before he started figuring out how dominant he could be. But when he got to the Lakers, that's when I couldn't stand Shaq, just because it was him and Kobe. Like, once he left the Lakers, I was back in love with Shaq. But that's like, if there was no foul limit, if people couldn't foul out, I would foul Shaq every time down the floor. Every time we down there, foul him. Foul him. I don't want to see Shaq get started. I don't want to see Shaq do the black tornado. If you don't know what the black tornado was, it was a spin move. After that, nobody knew where they were because Shaq was going to dunk real hard on you. Stuff like that. Like, I don't want to see him get started. I don't. I don't want to see it happen. So, similar situation, different sport. If we can keep Bryce Harper's impact of the game limited and come out on top, even though this thing went 13 innings, they swept the national team. That's tough. The Nationals are a tough team. I'm not just saying that because Tommy's here. They are a tough team. They are probably still going to win the National League East, without a doubt. I think the only team that could give them a fit is the Mets. That's it. That's it. I only see the Mets giving them a fit in the National League East. But
well, right now the Mets are a half a game in first place.
Right. But I'm saying that's the only team I see giving you guys a fit. That's the only team. I don't believe in the Phillies all season long. The Marlins, I mean, they look good, but can they keep this up until August? That's why I'm putting a lot of it. I really don't want to count it September because, you know, everybody's going to be putting their race on to try and, you know, get to the final positioning for the month of September, which is true. But I put that month in there. Do you think they could be there August, September, being the Marlins? I don't think so. I question that. So I think this is a race between the Mets and the Nationals at the end of the day. And this is just one series. Yeah, so what? And I'm looking at it like I'm overlooking it. Like, so what they got swept? So what? The Cubs are freaking hot. The Cubs are hot. We have not seen a side like this in quite some time. 24-6 out of the gate. Their first 30 games, they only got 6 losses. That's a hot team. I'm gonna spice this up even more, and I'm not directing this at Tommy. I'm just directing this at baseball people that like it, or purists, or stuff like that. The edge or the notion that Arrieta has going right now, picture him throwing something down the pipe and Bryce taking him deep. You'll shatter him. He won't have this going. I'd rather watch him be later in the season and then go at one another and be like, yeah, this is what I've been working on all season. If Bryce catch him, Bryce catch him. If Bryce don't catch him, then guess what? He gets to pound his fist and pump himself up and get ready to go to the dugout, things of that nature. I understand you want to see it get done. I understand that people want to see a power pitcher go up against a power batter at the end of the day, but if this is going to help us win a game, then so be it. Then so be it. And I'm not directing that at Tommy. I'm just saying that in general because the power of this game, look, the Nationals were fighting all series long to try and win a game in Wrigley, and this is something the Cubs need. I don't know whether we give credit to Theo Epstein for putting a team like this for them to be resilient, Joe Maddon to be tossed away by Tampa to come here to Chicago and change the aura around by this Cubs team, but this is something special right now. this is something special right now. Nacho, your thoughts on this game?
Do you really think Roger Clemens and them boys doing pictures I said will seriously sit there and walk it?
I agree with you, but I can't compare Arrieta to Roger Clemens or Nolan Ryan. Who else did you say? You said Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens. I'm not comparing them to them. There's no way. I couldn't even breathe them the words together. I couldn't because that's the era
you
I grew
sit there
up in.
You tell them to walk. They walk off the mound and hit the damn head, the commander term. They're like, I'm not walking him. It ain't happening.
Hey, right. No, different pitchers, different era, but hell. Arrieta just got to this type of stuff a year and a half ago. This wasn't like Arrieta been pitching like this for 6-7 years while Roger was dominating in Boston before he went to Toronto, or Nolan Ryan while he was doing his thing in Houston and getting to Texas and things of that nature, or hell, before Houston, like New York. Like, no, stop. I couldn't even compare him to that. Let Arrieta get some of these years under his wing before this. Arrieta was getting battered around while he was right there with you in the Metro. While he was right there in the Metro, who was Arrieta? Who was he? Now he's somebody.
Stay in the pros.
Huh?
I said he couldn't even stay in the pros. He kept being down to another AAA's team.
Okay, and picture him giving up a home run. It'll probably shatter him, and he'll be not. He won't be himself again, trying to find his zone. I'm not letting Bryce get started. I'm not letting Bryce, not against me. That could be somebody else until I really feel comfortable. Like, I'll go after him. I don't care what it is. But I understand this is the side of the national side, which I understand the frustration because they probably could have put more runs up on the board if he were able to hit a pitch. Understandable. Mr. Silver, your thoughts on this game or series with the Cubs taking all three this weekend?
And real quick, Tommy, just to clarify, are you more upset about the team not being able to score after the walks, or are you more upset about the walks themselves?
All of it, Tommy.
All of it? Okay. To start off, the walks themselves, again, I'm with Ty on this one. It's a strategic in the way you go about it. As I'm watching the game, again, I'm not a purist and I'm not someone who's been following baseball for, 30 years, as long as you guys have. But to sit here and watch it, as they're walking Bryce Harper with two men on, I'm sitting there thinking, what in God's world are you doing? You're loading the bases for the next batter, and you're giving this team an opportunity to not only, even with two runners, now with three runners, take a substantial lead late in this game. So, to me, looking at it, I didn't quite agree with it to begin with, just the particular one in last night. But the fact remains that Tommy hit it on the head. You have 21 guys left stranded. Multitude of them are Bryce Harper who are left stranded. But still, I just can't put it all on Arrieta and that Cubs team. They're trying everything in their power to get as many wins now as they can. This is a team that is really trying hard to get back into the playoff race, get back into the playoff race, get back into all kinds of, World Series chatter and World Series talk and stuff of that nature. So it's really just, to me, watching it, I just thought it was brilliant by the Cubs to be able to do that. Walk him six. I know he was hit once, but to get him on base seven times and to get out of every jam it's just brilliant. So I wasn't too mad at it. The fact remains that, you can get in, and I understand where he's coming from and Tommy and saying those big name guys, the Randy Johnsons of the world, the Clemens, those guys, they're going to go at you. They're going to throw that high heat. It's going to be, the best against the best. Again, I got to dip in a Ty's pot here. When you sit here and talk about Arrieta, this isn't a guy that has been doing it for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, year in and year out. Cy Young mentioned, going through and winning 15 games, 14 games, up to 20 games, almost a year. This is a guy who just got hot, just got started, and he's on a tremendous run dating back to the end of last year. So you don't want to put him in a situation early in the year where he's got to face Bryce Harper, and certain situations, and and you make it to where your team benefits and he benefits. So, again, I understand the plight of, you know, seeing your best player walk, but he's on base. You should be able to get him around and get him home and not have to worry about that and make those teams pay for taking that sacrifice of putting him on the base. That's what gets me. I understand watching your guy. I get upset when they walk Paul Goldschmidt here in Arizona. I know he's not as big of a name as Bryce, but it really does get to me. But I have to realize that Peralta coming up next, or maybe Castillo coming up next, has to be able to get him around and get him home and make them pay and second think about walking him. I'm sure if in game one or in game two they did this and the Nationals made him pay, Arrieta would have pitched to him and wouldn't have been an option. Sorry, he's crying, guys. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, as of right now, as it stands, this national team is in Detroit battling, and the Tigers are
we're
up
at
so
home.
Okay. Well, at home, I know that the Tigers are up 2-0 at this point. I did see the scores go by, so they're up 2-0 right now. I'm just hoping that this doesn't continue, because then I would have to eat these words speaking positively for this national team. And is the cat out of the bag that they have to see other people perform other than their superstar, a.k.a. the next $400 million man in Bryce Harper. So there will have to be other people that step up. Excuse me, Jason Worth, because Jason Worth, you're getting a ton of damn money, You better do something. Anything else before we do get away from this record day of Bryce getting walked 13 times in a series? 13 times. Jesus.
He had one hit nets in a four-game series, and that was a home run.
I understand the frustration. I'm with you. I can't stress
one
the situation.
One for four.
The thing about that is other teams know now. Let's just pitch around them. They can't make anything happen. We're going to beat them that way. That is the problem that you face. Sorry. Go ahead, Tommy.
No. I was agreeing with you. I was saying exactly.
It just seems like a weak link in the chain that needs to be fixed pretty quickly.
This right here is why he'll leave in two more years. Watch. He's gone. He will go to a team to where they can get him that protection. Watch.
Whatever you do, just don't send him to New York, please. Don't let him be a Yankee, please. I cannot watch this happen any longer. I can't. I'm tired of it.
I see him going to Chicago, or he'll go somewhere out west.
If he goes to the Cubs, that's cheating. I don't want to watch baseball no more. If him and Chris Bryant get to play together and these dudes knew each other since they were younger, I don't want to watch it. Please, that's a home run derby, man. That's a home run derby, man. I feel sorry for any pitch. I'm not even going to talk that up because that's all speculation, man. That's all speculation. Now. Okay, Nacho, do you have a topic that you would like to talk about since I gave Tommy one to start off with? I'll let you start off with another one, too.
Sorry about that. Yeah, what I was going to go into was something of a little bit more. It has to do with sports. It's not a major sport. It's something that when it pertains to high school athletics, in the state of Texas, a stadium is already built. It's a $60 million stadium in Allen, Texas. Now, less than 5 miles away, and I can't remember the city's name, and I'll get it for you in a second. They have been approved. In 2000, they were approved for $12.5 million, and then this year they have been allotted $50 million, making it $62.5 million stadium. That a high school is about to receive in an allotment of money that the city and state or county or however it works in Texas there has voted to give this school that amount of money. What irks me is that when we have an educational system in America, and I haven't gone into Texas's educational standings and how good or bad they are in these two schools, but the fact remains that pumping $120 million into a sport in two schools less than 5 miles away from each other, it grinds my gears. It upsets me. It makes me sick to my stomach when we got kids that are in school that are more worried about the Z route, an X route, a Y route, a 9 route, playing their position than learning how to add, learning how to subtract, learn how to read, learn how to write, become a functional citizen in this country where we're building up that playing a sport is just that much more important than getting an education. I know this is a subject that we don't really touch on too much here, but to me it really sickens me that within 5 miles we got $120 million dedicated to a sport, but we can't get kids tambourines and triangles for their music classes.
Very good, Ty.
Yes, sir. Get us started, Tommy.
Nacho. Let me educate you for someone that follows high school sports like I do. Texas, High Nose, South Florida, pretty much the whole state of Florida, but mainly south down around the southern part, especially the Miami area in high school football, is life. That is how kids get out of the ghetto. Like Texas, like if you literally go to Texas, you're not far from it. Go to a Texas high school game. Now, I advise you, the game starts at 7:30, 7 o'clock. You better get there about 5:30 if you want anywhere decent to park. Especially, I mean, it's a life down there. It's life. I mean, I've actually seen high school games even around here where I'm at, the high school that I went to. I still go there to watch high school games there, and it's part of life. I mean, even in Florida, like Miami area, Cocoa Beach, in Booker T. Washington High School and everything, and some other high schools, there's bets that go on for the games. I mean, literally, people are betting. I've seen where parents will literally jump the fence and yell at their kids if they miss a tackle, or coaches that pull players and hit them. It's part of life. California is another one. It's just part of life. You can even catch it if you watch it on, like, ESPN nowadays. And this the whole time now recruiting is getting so big now. It's just part of life. It's how it is now. I mean, I've seen where high schools are cut budgets of certain stuff just where they can use it for basketball or baseball, whatever their sport is that they're good at. It's just part of how it is now, Nacho. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it because I don't, but it's just how it is. I mean, I know like in West Virginia and then part of the Virginia area that I live in, football is it. I mean, there are some high schools that's good in basketball, and there's a rival to my high school that's dominating baseball. It's just how it is now. I know the high school I graduated at, they just put in $1,000 worth weight room for the football program, and that's all that can do it, play with it, is the weight is football. Your basketball, your baseball, they don't touch it. They have their own.
Again, Tommy, I understand where the culture is heading, and I get the fact that, you know, parents would do that. What irks me and gets me and shrivels me up inside is the fact that their kids can come home with F's and they won't give two craps about it. But they miss a tackle on the field. They miss a bucket on the court. They miss a grounder to third, and their parents are up in arms about it. But what pisses me off and what's making me more upset about it is that these law enforcement, or not law enforcement, these civil servants or elected officials are really putting football above these kids' education. Now, I understand parents, you want to raise your kid any way you want to raise them, that's fine. I don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with me. I understand that. When we get into parenting, that's a whole sticky issue. The problem is that we've got elected officials in here agreeing with these parents. We've got elected officials saying that, yeah, football is more important than getting your grades. Yeah, basketball is more important than getting your grades up. We're going to give you a high class full court. We're going to give you a brand new NFL stadium. It doesn't matter if your numbers are in the low percentile when it becomes to education. That's just what's making me so upset about this whole situation. Now, again, like I said, you want to raise your child anyway. You want to get mad because he missed a tackle, but he's failing all of his classes and he don't give a shit. That's on you. But the problem is that we've got people that we elect that we can say, hey, well, sometimes when the masses can't make the right decision, you have to be there and be the voice of reason. And they're being the voice of unreason and agreeing with these, what I would call, I don't want to say it, but it really irks me that this is taking place more and more. Now, I understand Florida, California, and Texas, those are the main states, the staples when it comes to high school football, Alabama as well, the South in general when we talk about it. It's getting me that now we're allotting school money. Like I said, it could go to new books. It could go to help kids who can't afford to get pencils and school supplies. It's now being allotted to buy flags and jerseys and helmets and basketballs when it should be getting these kids into classes and into college. And I understand, Tommy, that's the way to get out of there, but we already know the astronomical numbers as it pertains to high school students actually making the NFL. Do we know the number that it takes for high school students to graduate, to go to at least college, or to at least have a high school diploma and get a good job? I bet you those numbers are a lot more easier than kids trying to become NFL superstars. So it really just gets me, and I'm not getting on anyone here, but I understand. It's just when we've got elected officials constantly undermining and making it seem as if education is at the background when these are student athletes. The first word is student, not athlete. So it pushes me and it gets me, especially with three young boys and me knowing them wanting to play sports and me wanting to put school in front of that. It's going to be hard with a lot of other parents and a lot of other kids that don't hold school in the high value.
Plus, the money that comes in for the sports, like football. So, like, I know around here, football tickets to get into a game or even a basketball game for the school is $5 a ticket. That money goes to the sports program. Your education comes through whatever your boards of education does the books. Whatever comes in, whatever money comes in for you, that sporting event, say we're talking about basketball or football in these stadiums, that's where that money comes from. So whatever they sell, program books,
your famous athletes that come from alums from that high school donate money to the school, to the sports, to the football program. That's where that comes out too. They don't go out and they don't buy books with that money. Whatever that school, so like you make $1,000 for tickets, and then you throw in programs that are probably $5, $7, $8 a program, a game. There's 10 games. I mean, 10 games, you make $1,000, there you go. All that money stays right in there to that program, that sports program. It doesn't leave to anything else.
I understand wholeheartedly where both of you are coming from, but you think about, and I want to go beyond that. you think about kids that struggle to make it to college, or struggle to pay to get to college, or struggle in any which way for their education is understandable. That is a handsome amount of money to throw to a football stadium for high school kids. For high school. But that already lets you know how crazy we are about sports, including myself. I put myself in the conversation. Now, do I agree with seeing that much money go to a stadium? Hell no. Hell no. I agree with not so heartily. But I live up here in the Northeast New England region where sports is phenomenal, but it's not as king, especially in the football nature, compared to the states that have been mentioned, like Florida, like Texas, like California, you know, some of the bigger states in the union that, you know, where football is life, where Texas, they made a big screen movie about it, Friday Night Lights, place in Texas, with Booby Miles and Pearman High School, all of that. That's a true story. That's how big football is down there in Texas. So, not to say that I like it, but I understand the living of the situation and how some of these players or families want to grow their son up to be a professional football player or for, you know, whatever profession they want to see them get the job done in. So I understand. Do I support it? Kind of. Like, I don't want to say I'm fully against it, but, it truly is a thin line. Right here, this is truly a thin line, and that is a huge topic, huge issue to start off on, Nacho. I definitely like that. That's huge. And
I know before I die, or before my body gives out or I can enjoy it, I want to go to Texas, and I want to watch a high school football game. I have been to Florida and watched games in Florida. I'm telling you, it's like night and day from what I'm used to. The speed is unbelievable down there. So I want to see Texas. Because me, being somebody that's in high school sports with basketball, and that's something else I want to do. I want to go to New York and see high school basketball up there.
Well, I don't know what you need to see speed for when you had Randy Moss right there in West Virginia. I'd have been just fine.
Yeah, but there's like 15 million Randy Mosses just in Florida by itself. That's from North Florida to South Florida. They're all over down there. We had a kid graduate from where I graduated in 2003 that was actually better than what Randy Moss was. But something like Nacho brought up, he thought he was bigger than the game. He actually committed, went to WVU, and threw his life away. And that was back when they had Rodriguez as the coach, and he kicked him off the team. Now he's working down at the VA Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, with my brother. Dude had talent in the world. I'm telling you right now, he could have played pros. Dude had speed like you wouldn't believe, could catch, could do it all. And this is where I agree with Nacho, because a lot of these – and I've seen it. I know kids now that came from the high school that I follow, that I went to. Like, they go to class when they want to go to class. And then nothing's done. Oh, he's a football player. Who cares? He'll play Friday night. He'll score 4, 5, 6 touchdowns for us. He'll rush for 160 yards with 3 touchdowns. All quarterback will throw for a 400-300-yard game, 6, 7 touchdowns. He'll be all right. Then they go to college where you have to make that grade unless you go to Alabama or unless you go to Florida State or unless you go to Florida where they don't give a damn because it's like that. Because we all know Miami players don't do that. They have to go to class. But I understand what Nacho's saying. Trust me.
I know I halfway agree with you, though, Tommy. It's hard to find 6'4", 208, and run 4'2". You can find that shit, If you can find that hat, look, 6'2", 8'4", 2", please tell me when he's playing, whoever that is in West Virginia, I'm coming. I'm coming to see him. Especially in high school, because you know he's going to be trampling on people. Y'all know I'm a diehard Randy fan. And if you didn't watch the doggone the Rand University 30 for 30, please, I suggest you go watch it. That boy was scoring like 5 touchdowns a game. Randy wasn't playing punt, kickoff return, and pass. Man, listen, if they got it like that in West Virginia, I'm coming to catch a football game next year. I'm coming. Anything else before we get away from that? That was a huge topic. They started off swinging Sports City. Look, they're not playing today. They're not playing. I like it. Anything else before we get away from it?
No, again, I just wanted to clarify that. I'm not against sports, and I'm not against student athletes, and I'm not against these kids getting the proper equipment and the proper facilities to train in and to play in. I'm not against any of that. I'm against putting a sport above an education, above bettering yourself as a person, because like I said about NFL, the numbers of you making it from a high school to the college level are crazy. From high school to NFL are astronomical. Let's just put a little more emphasis on education and getting these kids into college on education scholarships, not so much as their just raw talent. It boggles my mind that we will let guys, because they ran a couple of touchdowns on a Friday night, they get to skip out on a lesson or a class or assignments. And again, I know it's something that's not new. I'm 10, 12 years removed from high school. It happened when I was in high school. It happened when Ty was in high school, when Tommy was in high school. I'm sure it happened to the older listeners. And even right now as we speak, there are people that are doing it right now in high school. So I'm not saying that it's a new problem.
Nacho, I'm right now. I was a star in high school. During the game day, you might have called me in 4 classes the whole day. I knew the classes to go to.
Exactly. You knew the teachers. Mm-hmm.
The rest, I knew. You knew where you could find me. I was in the coach's locker room watching game film of that team opponent that we were playing. I ain't gonna lie. I knew exactly.
I'm not saying it's a horrible thing to want to better yourself as an athlete. But at that point, you were a child. You needed adults to say, "Hey, get to class. After school, we'll teach you, or you can watch film." That's what I'm getting at. I understand the kids. I understand we as people, we want to better ourselves, especially in those sports. I understand these kids, and I'm going to be in the film room. I understand they're not ditching class to go drink and smoke and yada, yada, yada. They're going to go better themselves in this sport. But they need the adults to get in their way and say, hey, let's get this education down. Then we can learn that Z route. Then we can learn that 9 route. Then we can learn whatever else, whatever route we want to learn or play or whatever. Then we can get down to brass tacks. That's all I'm trying to say.
And I'll tell you this much now, and my wife can vouch for it. Now I wish I would have went to them classes. Trust me. Now I wish I would have.
Okay. Look for us. I ain't even put a dish out yet. Them boys took it in. And now they know how I feel to put a damn one dish out. And these dudes eat. And I ain't even been eating much. So that's them. Okay, so I'm letting y'all know that. Okay. First and foremost, they've announced that more than likely Steph Curry will be receiving his Most Valuable Player award this week. In which, I'm not even getting involved. I'm please, Karma. I didn't do nothing. I didn't see nothing. I'm not even saying nothing about him. Okay, look. In which, right, the Western Conference is still having their drag them out, beat each other up type of situation in these postseason runs. In the Eastern Conference, the overlooked Cleveland Cavaliers team, now I know they're the number one seed. They have not lost yet in the postseason, where every team in the playoffs have lost up until this point, including the Golden State Warriors, which they have won 73 games this season. the Cavs are now looking at potentially up to a week's worth of rest before they play another game after getting Atlanta out of there. Do you think this is actually even better news for a Cleveland Cavaliers team who has struggled to get to the pinnacle and win it, especially with LeBron James being overlooked for the MVP situation also? Now, just like it was said, it was Steph Curry. It was just like it was said with Russell Westbrook in the season that he had. You got to throw LeBron in there as well. Kevin Durant coming back from his injury from last year with a broken foot. I mean, how severe of this situation is it in front of this Cleveland Cavaliers team who is taking no prisoners and they are still being overlooked? They have played 8 games and they have won 8 games. They are halfway to what they want to have is their 16th win, which could mean a lot or it could just mean that they're doing their work in this Eastern Conference. I want to hear how you guys feel about the Cavs being overlooked up until this point and them taking care of business right now. Nacho, I'll start with you first. Did I lose Mr. Silver? Hello. Okay, Tommy, let me know your
Ty, just give me 1 minute. I'll be right back.
Okay, definitely. Tommy, your thoughts on Cleveland, the way that they have been taking care of business up until this point, and they're looking up to at least a week of relaxation until they play another team, potentially the Raptors or the Heat. That's if, well, I won't even spill into too much. I'm going to try and get to it also, but your thoughts.
They haven't really been challenged yet. That's all. I'm not looking at them running through the East anything big. Yes, we both thought Detroit would give them a chance, and they didn't. Atlanta, history shows they can't. Atlanta just, they're Atlanta when it comes to the postseason. I'll say this. They lose games, whoever they play next in the Eastern Conference final. Of course, we all know who I've got in the Eastern Conference finals playing them and beating them. But we'll make a left turn on that. Them being overlooked, they're not being overlooked. There's just too many. There's other stories than the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. Golden State with Steph out and hurt, man. We've already got it. The whole OKC and San Antonio series is a lot bigger than what Cleveland's done yet. I mean, shoot. Just the one game between what happened with 13.5 is a bigger story than the whole Cavs playoff thing. So, I mean, it's nothing that they're being overlooked. There's just more stories than what they've done so far.
Okay, Mr. Silver, are you back or should I roll?
No, I'm back. This is good. Yesterday I said it, catch the archives if you want to know the extent of how I put it out there. But again, Tommy hit it on the head. This is the weakest story in a plethora of playoff stories, if I can be so blunt as to say that. First off, the Steph Curry situation in and of itself, the injury and that to the two-time MVP, that's a story. That's a 30-minute story in and of itself. The Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers, not being able to put together a fourth quarter, giving them what could have been a potentially 2-1 lead in the series, that's a story. That's just one series, and that's just the Western Conference. We also have to talk about the San Antonio Spurs and also the Oklahoma City Thunder. What they're doing on each other's court, the way that San Antonio came out and made it seem as if this was going to be a rout, the way that the Thunder came back and said, uh-uh, homie, and it's been back and forth ever since. That is a story in and of itself that we could see here for the next hour and talk about. And then, of course, we get down to Tommy and I's bitter disagreement Dwayne Wade, the Miami Heat, and the Toronto Raptors. That right there in the Eastern Conference, in their own conference, is a better series than any series they've played so far. Especially now when you've got Whiteside day-to-day, Valanciunas out for the playoffs. You've got so much going on in that series that in their own conference, they're overshadowed by a series that has more questions and more talking points than theirs does. The fact remains, they are 12-0 against the Atlanta Hawks. They have decimated that team over and over again in the playoffs, with healthy or unhealthy, being healthy or unhealthy. So that was no surprise. The fact that it was a 1-point victory is the biggest shock to everyone, because they didn't blow them out again. And then again, 73 threes? Am I right, Ty? 73 threes the whole series? If I'm not mistaken, 77. Again, I'm going to reiterate this, and I know Ty doesn't like my hyperbole. The Warriors would have put up 200 threes in that series. That's how poorly the Atlanta Hawks played the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, this is a series and a team that was penned into the finals before the first tip-off, back in October or November. Drawing a blank. Since before then, preseason, this has been a Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, Eastern Conference to lose. So they're on the back burner until the Eastern Conference Finals, when there's four teams left, and now we have to talk about one of them making the finals. To me, it's not that they're so much a left behind story. They're not a big story, but it's not so much that people are overlooking them. There's so much going on with all six other teams that it's too big to just focus on this team running roughshod over some teams that are mediocre or below in the NBA playoffs.
I agree. I think that if Reggie Jackson didn't pull that selfish stuff, I think they'd have probably got a win. I think they'd have got a game. And also in Atlanta, I think it's fundamental. I think it's basketball 101. You guys just needed to play perimeter defense, and this one, everybody was shooting the ball. They were shooting threes. It wasn't even like they were running backdoor cuts and scoring at the rim. They were shooting threes, which were a lower percentage shot, and drilling them. They damn near had 100 three-point makes. Damn near 100 three-point makes. That is insanity. Insanity. Budenholzer, your job should be on the line. If Jaeger got fired from Memphis, you should lose your job. And I don't wish that for nobody, but come on. Come on. But looking at this situation, especially if the Heat win tonight. If the Heat win tonight, this is going six or seven games regardless. So they get more rest. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, and to answer your question, it's not a week of rest to me. It's a week of rust. I think these guys come back real rusty at the beginning of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, but they still get to shoot around and stuff like that. So, I mean, they'll still
come around. I get it. I have a bad feeling about this team and having a long layoff. I just don't like it.
Okay, I was going to get into the Spurs-Thunder game last night, but we are running down on time since I was told don't go over 60, so I'm going to do that. I need plug closeouts, things of that nature, and who wins these two games tonight? The first game is the Raptors visiting the Heat, and the second game is the Warriors visiting the Blazers. I need winners. I told them to hit the showers. I can't win with them. No, let me stop. I messed that all up. It sounds corny. But I need a winner out of both of the games from the both of you. I will start with you first, Mr. Silver. Plug, closeout, shout-out. Anything that you like to promote, anything that I may have missed, you get touched on too. But I need a winner from each of those games tonight also.
Nothing that sticks out in my crawl space that you know, say miss that was sticking out. We kind of hit everything I wanted to, and what you did again. The Thunder game. It was a great game. It was just fun to watch. That series is just going to be great. So NBA fan, I love it. Tonight, you already know I got to go opposite of Tommy. I'm going to take the Raptors. I just got to keep this fuel and this you know bitterness between me and Tommy in this series. And it's funny because neither of us are fans of either team, but we're sticking to our guns. I'm going to go with Toronto tonight. I know they're in Miami. I know that it's going to be a tough one. I know Valanciunas is out. I don't know. I haven't heard the clearance for Mr. Whiteside. Don't know if he's playing.
He's
tonight.
Out.
He's out. Okay, so this could be an interesting game. I am going to go with the Raptors still. And then with the black and red, I'm sticking with them. Dame Lillard, don't let me down again. I'll take another 40 and 10. If you want to give me 35, 10 and 10, I'll take that. I don't care. Get it done. Make it happen. Portland Trailblazers tonight, Toronto Raptors tonight. Those are my picks. We talked about Canelo Khan on Sunday. We talked about possibilities for Khan and who's next and yada, yada, yada. Two names that I'm hearing surfaced and leaked and spread around because I don't know why I keep hearing these two. Curtis Stevens and David Lemieux, two fighters that both fought the same night Canelo did, are two names that are being tossed around in multiple circles and multiple things about Canelo's next fight. The one that I have an interest or a vetted thing, or not vetted, but I think could come to pass would be David Lemieux. Canelo using the angle of he fought Triple G. It would be a competitive fight. If you watch David Lemieux fight before Canelo, he gave that kid the business, even though his corner threw him the towel on him. I don't know about that. Ty, if you want to do a show there, we can talk about that. But that whole thing in and of itself is interesting. So I know that the super fans like myself and Ty and a lot of us others, even down to the casuals, want to see Canelo and Triple G. But again, like I said on Sunday, promoters, handlers, and Oscar De La Hoya, who knows who Canelo's next fighter is going to be. But I have a very good assumption and presumption that it will not be Triple G, which is kind of upsetting. But, again, David Lemieux, Curtis Stevens, look for those two names to be tossed into the hat for Canelo's next competitor if he wants to fight again before the end of the year. Other than that, great show, guys. Tommy, enjoy the games. Ty, great win last night. And keep it going. Like I said, 2-2 going into Game 5. It's going to be pretty freaking amazing series like we've been talking about. And I'm just excited for that. I know you're super excited as well, but – again, just ready for this, ready for these NBA playoffs and these NBA finals, and then of course the Stanley Cup finals and what that entails and the championships that go with those two things. So excited! Can't wait for tomorrow to get back on the show and we'll have some fun. Thanks, Zach.
Okay, Tommy, I need a plug, closeout, shout out. Also, your thoughts on who wins in both of these games tonight, and if you also want to talk about that Thunder-Spurs matchup, you can as well.
We had Thunder-Spurs, good game. I don't know what you all think, but Tim Duncan looks like he's really struggling to finish. I mean, I have not seen him look this bad in a while. I mean, wow. Tim Duncan had, I believe, 4 to 5 fouls, under, I believe, 5 rebounds, and had 0 points. He's struggling. He's one of them that you don't like seeing in his career like this, but it's coming to an end very shortly, I'm afraid. Tonight's games, I'll go backwards. I look for Golden State to win. I don't know why. I don't see. I mean, Lillard will get his, but he's not going to put on the show like he did last time. I'm going with the Heat, but it's got to be a whole team game. I mean, Dame, you got to show up and put up some points. Joe Johnson's got to do it. Everybody's got to hit the boards.
I mean, Wade's going to do what Wade always does. He's going to carry the team and get everybody else going. I'll go with the Heat. If it doesn't happen, when I said Toronto will win this. But Dang and Joe's got to show up. Stoudemire, do something. I mean, everybody's got to hit the boards. Everybody's got to play defense and everything. Miami wins, and I still like Miami to win this series. I really do.
And anything else for the other game, Golden State or Portland?
Golden State wins.
Just another side note, Golden State has not lost a back-to-back loss situation. Every game that they've lost, they won the next game back. Just saying. So that is a need-to-know factor. Now, about the game last night, it bothered me that Russ was off again. He couldn't knock down shots, but he was passing the ball and people were finishing. If this is the way that we could close games out, I feel good about our chances going into Game 5. That's true. I feel good going into San Antonio with that type of game. If he can score, we can put a lot of pressure on that Spurs team, but they are very tough in San Antonio. Winners for today, I find it hard to go against Golden State when they haven't lost all season when they lost the game already. And the reason why they called me TT, that P in my last name, man, I can't go against it. I can't. But he ain't do crap that last game. They ain't do nothing. They gave him 4 minutes, man. I think they know Wade been cooking them. So that's why they let Norman sit out. So, MP, you chill out, man. Stop trying to be that boy, man. That boy damn near scored 40. Don't let Wade go crazy, man. But I'm going to go with my cuz, man. Going with the Raptors, man, I got to, man. I got to ride that family wave out. I got
by myself.
Hey, they do it to me all the time in the kitchen. They need me by myself a lot in the kitchen, believe me.
I'm happy by myself.
And you hear me when I come back to the kitchen, I'll be happy too. I'll be happy too because your boy Thomas be pulling those out. They be pulling those out. But we'll be this. Tomorrow, it might be a late show. Because y'all know why. Y'all already know why. I just briefly talked about it. They trying to take off at the same time we doing things, man. They trying to. Okay. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here tomorrow. Cookout, I say about 10:30. We might have to put that one up at 10:30. I hope I can get these boys up in our base seat to put a fire around this kitchen. On that note, Tell a friend that it's the chess again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
Hear the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the smell.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when nickels down.
All black, everything. Black cars, black cars. All black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with they cylinders. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar. I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave another grip, I lost a flip of 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5,6,0, dot 0, hit up. Back to running circles round, niggas, now we squared up. Hold up. dark Caesar. We follow the leader. So Eric B, we are microphone fiend. It's the return of the God. Peace, God. It ain't nobody fresher. I'm in Mason. Martin Martella on the table screaming, fuck the other side. They jealous. We got a banquet full of bras. They got a table full of fellas.
Yeah.
And they ain't spending no cake. They should throw their hand in, cause they ain't got no space.
Yeah.
My whole team got dough, so my banquet is looking like millionaires, bro. Go from being Joe.